MMA Roadshow, episode number 376. My name is John Morgan. Cold coffee is with me in Las Vegas. Not in Singapore.
Nope.
Thank God.
I'll
tell you what, man. I've had some good times in Singapore. It is a fun place, and I'm excited to talk about this car, but I'm not going to lie. I'm excited to be doing it from the Pacific time zone, man. That is a long trip over there.
Long trip, less humidity, just less dealing with, like, some of the stuff that used to be fun. Like, it used to be fun, like, well, I mean, it still is
it's
fun.
It's still fun.
Interacting in foreign cultures and being able to get around, but sometimes by the end when you're tired from the flight, and then you start getting nagging feelings, just other media around you, and you're all stuck together. You know, like, it was funny. Like, I saw one of the pics today or yesterday or whatever. Abby put, like, this pic out, gang, and I was like, the gang, and I saw all the squad, and I was just like, I would be so tired of all my buddies. Like, like, I like all the guys in there, but I could see where, like, on day two, I'd probably be like, all right, I've seen you guys way too much. I'm like, I'm just going to go to this part of the country over here.
Singapore is a cool place, by the way. If you've never been there and you're thinking about maybe making a trip to that part of the country, I would recommend checking it out. It is a very cool place. Some amazing food over there. It's just so damn expensive, man. That's what's not fun to me is going out and having drinks or whatever.
Yeah, get your drinks done before you get in the country.
I'm telling you, man, you got to bring some with you, bro. It's like $16 beers for just,
that's,
you know,
ridiculous.
I can't hang like that, bro. I used to when I was younger, I just didn't care. I'm like, you know what? Whatever. I'm spending it. I'm here. When am I going to be in Singapore? Let's go.
That's how I ran up a bunch of credit cards.
As I got older, I realized I got to be a little more responsible with this money that I'm making here. This is stupid.
Yeah.
So,
but no. It is a beautiful. I mean, beautiful. In terms of, like, the architecture being around there,
it's like futuristic.
Oh,
right?
It's just amazing. That whole, like, flower huge garden off to the side of what's the big hotel with the surf boat?
The Marina Bay Sands.
Marina Bay Sands off to the side, and that's like there's like a purpose. It's like filters water or in like something else. Like that whole park has like a biological feature that it does, you know, and it's just fantastic. But when you look at it, you're like, oh my gosh, it's all futuristic. And it's just beautiful. They got that big lion fountain that like spews water out into the lake across from it or whatever, from the Marina Bay. Just beautiful. And I thought that was one of the coolest things. It's like, you go there, you could take a picture, and it looks like a postcard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but then, like you said, everything gets very, very expensive.
I did have one really fun night, I think the last time I was there, where I'll leave the person involved out of it, but I was like, there has to be some places around here that aren't, like, everything super expensive. Like, yeah, there's some places that are kind of like normal prices. I'm like, can we go there, like, where normal people go?
Yeah.
And we did get pretty tore up, and by the end of it, this individual was pushing me down the street in a shopping cart because I was so inebriated. I was like, I'm going to go in here and just ride in this. How about you push me around? He was like, all right, let's go.
So, those used just to be the old Tuesdays. We call that Tuesday with John.
We call that Tuesday on the road, man. So, yeah, no, it's funny. So, all right, well, to set the whole scene, first of all, my wife and kid are out of town until next Tuesday. So,
that's right, you're on your own.
I'm on my own, which is a little bit interesting. It's only been one day. They left yesterday, and they actually had kind of an adventure. They got stuck in Dallas. They missed their connecting flight, so they were stuck at DFW. Fortunately, my parents still live in Dallas. And my parents went and picked up my wife and kid and took care of them. Obviously, they were excited to see their grandkid took care of them. And so they're now in Mexico. So they're visiting family in Mexico right now. So I am by myself. And I will say that I do enjoy – I'm going to be honest with you. I enjoy a little quiet time. And my house is a little bit chaotic, all right? I mean, my kid is a bound of energy, like just endless energy, all right?
Yeah.
He's 10 years old. He's a mile a minute. Like, he just never stops. Meanwhile – my wife, I mean, she married me, so you know she's a little bit crazy, right? She's just kind of singing sometimes and doing stuff, and I'm like, why is it so loud in here? Like, I kind of appreciate a little bit of peace and quiet, which I know sounds weird coming from me. The dogs aren't bad at barking except when strangers are around. Otherwise, they're super quiet. But yeah, so anybody that knows me knows that I'm not exactly a quiet person, but I can appreciate some quiet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But only just for a little bit, dude. Like it's been one day, and I feel so weird in the house. Like, I appreciate the quiet for about an hour, and then I'm like, where's my family?
Yeah. Are you making dinner on your own? Or are you using this as an excuse to go out and get food?
Like no. I'm trying to stay good. You know, we're trying to eat out less and all that. You know, save some money that way as well. So I'm trying to do that.
It's easier when you're making dinner for one and then to clean up after one.
That
you know,
is easy.
As opposed to like all the dishes for what you need.
I guess
we'll
see.
To make the whole family.
We'll see how it goes by the end of the week.
You're going straight to B-Dubs after this.
I might be going to B-Dubs. I might be going to B-Dubs. But anyway, so I'm in the house. But here's the problem is, I have lost already in one day the structure to my life because basically I just ended up last night staying up until like 1 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Just live chatting on the MMA Fighting Media Day stream just for no reason. I mean,
how late did you sleep in? Because you usually get up. You have to get up early. I guess you used to get up early because of him for school, but he's getting a little bit older.
During the summer, I don't have to get up as early. So, I mean, I still got up around like 8 this morning or something, but not like 5 a.m. like you.
I know, but still, 8's good. 8's good.
But, yeah, I was just like having a few frosty beverages and chatting on the MMA.
But not at 8 a.m.
No, not at 8. That was at 1 a.m. But normally I would try to go to bed a little earlier than that. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Structure's out of my life right now. So, anyway, I was kind of getting some updates from Singapore. It's weird because I have enjoyed traveling the world. I think I'm getting old, man. I hate to say it. I think I'm getting old. Like, the idea of 24 hours of heading over there is just doesn't excite me the way it used
to. Yeah, losing the time because, I mean, what is it? So it's Wednesday night here. It's like Thursday morning, like right now there. So, yeah, even it's weird having to deal with that. Usually going forward and coming back, you know, you feel like a little weird time travel. And I remember coming from there, always coming back.
It brutal.
It was hard.
Brutal. Coming back
it was
rough.
Always hard. Just readjusting, just sleep was bad. I never slept really well on planes anyways. But yeah, that one was always tough. But yeah, I mean, I'm not missing the humidity. I'm not missing whatever. I mean, it's cool. I mean, I figure we did it for a lot of good years.
We did.
You know, so I don't mind that, you know, some of the young pups, as I like to call them, are getting those memories and those bonding and stuff like that.
I think that's what it is. I think we're seeing a generational shift. We've got to let these young bucks come up and do
it. I mean,
what
I wouldn't
did.
Mind it every once in a while. It's funny because we were chatting about, you know, whether if Paris was going to happen. And honestly, when I started looking at the costing, of course, having Abby over in London, it's much cheaper. But then I started thinking, about, man, okay, that's a long flight. It is Paris. That would be cool. But then I'm like, okay, then I got to make sure I get a clean bill of health to leave the country, you know. Mm-hmm. So then you got to set that up with the UFC. And I think the UFC has been good on facilitating that. And they'll do that for the boys and girls coming back from Singapore to help them to make sure that they have that negative test so they can get back into the States. But just having to deal with some of the shit that we didn't have to used to deal with before. Before, it's just like, okay, let me make sure I make it to my flight to get home. And then all you have to do is just get through all the stuff.
There's
extra hurdles that people are having to go through now.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I mean, we all feel fine and everything's good. But, like, if you're over there and say you feel fine, you're asymptomatic, and all of a sudden you pop positive in a country where it's very expensive to stay in.
You're
then next thing, and then you're stuck for 2 weeks. You know, that just – it puts a lot of stuff. So part of me was like, do I want to deal with that? You know, so I was just like, hey, if I can go, great. If not, Paris, maybe I'll catch you someday. You know, maybe catch you someday. But I think that's partially where I'm getting at a lot of the trips, you know. Maybe if when the U.S. opens up and makes it a little bit easier where we don't have to jump through all those hoops, maybe I'll be more prone to be like, okay, I wouldn't mind another little trip to here or there. But it's just tough because now – I'll never probably get the opportunity to go back to London because we got Abby there, and I love London.
Yep.
I love those trips. So it just makes more sense to send the guys over there. And I guess that kind of sucks, you know, but it is what it is, you know. But honestly, we had a good run.
We had a good run of international travel.
We had a good year. So I mean, I'm not too, you know, honestly, I'm not too sad about it. If anything, I'm just grateful for the years that we were able to get in there.
Absolutely. I'm happy that I had a chance to see it, but yeah, I'm kind of okay with it. So I guess I did watch a lot of the media yesterday. I am really, really excited about this card. I guess I didn't hear a lot of talk about it during the media day, so I don't know if it's being maybe it's not being addressed as much, or maybe it just doesn't seem as much of a challenge. But these fights are going to be incredibly early in the morning for these guys.
Yeah.
So if anybody knows, if you're a North American audience or wherever you're watching, it's going to be your normal Saturday pay-per-view slot. So, you know, 10 p.m. Eastern for the main card. So super, super early in the morning for these athletes. And you know, I don't know if that's going to be impacting things during the week, but I guess maybe it's something to watch out for, at least at the weigh-ins, to maybe see what somebody's energy level looks like. Yeah, and
I was just thinking about that. You speak about the weigh-ins. Okay, so the weigh-ins are later in the evening the day prior, but then they're fighting in the morning so that they can get it here. we're not getting the full 24 hours of hydration in between, right?
I think they're actually getting a little bit more.
Are they good? Is it a day after, or? Because I was just thinking about that. Because I was like, what if it's in the evening of Friday there, right? Or is it Saturday evening there?
Because I remember we did that. Remember when we used to go to New Zealand a couple times? They did that where the weigh-ins were like on Friday night, and then the fights were on like Sunday morning.
Okay, so
if
that's
the case,
you actually
got more time. So let's see. I've got the PR schedule here. So let's take a look at it here.
I guess that is because it's Friday morning here, which is Friday evening there. Okay, so it is Friday.
So
they are getting.
Yeah,
okay.
So locally, the weigh-ins are Friday night in Singapore at 9 p.m. Now, this is just so you know, so if you want to do your conversion, whatever, I think that's like 4 in the morning Las Vegas time or so, 5 in the morning Las Vegas time, something like that.
Something like that.
On Friday morning. But the weigh-ins are going to be kind of the old style back in the day, right? Where blue corner walks up, jumps on the scale, red corner walks up, jumps on the scale, and then they face off. So it's all kind of just one thing, like it used to be years and years and years ago.
Oh, shit, yeah, because I'm on the schedule from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m., and if that's Eastern time, so that's 3 in the morning.
3 in the morning.
So that probably means it probably starts around 4, I imagine, or something, or unless they just started me right at it.
Yeah, because I think they're 16 hours ahead of, let's see here. Yeah, no, 15 hours ahead. Yeah. Singapore is 15 hours ahead. So, yeah, 6 a.m.? So, 6 a.m. Vegas time. So, Ooh. Weigh-ins are – but local time, and again, this I will say,
okay,
this
so
throws
on
me
this
off so bad.
6 a.m., I bet he meant
– Pacific time.
Yeah, or something.
So, 9 p.m. Singapore time, Friday night for the weigh-ins. And then, as far as the fight itself, Sunday, June 12th
okay.
in Singapore.
Well, that's even better. I was worried about that.
6:30 a.m. for the prelims, 8 a.m. for the second set of prelims, and 10 a.m. for the main card start. So, not as bad, I think, as like some of the ones that we had in Abu Dhabi, but still pretty damn early in the morning.
Yeah, because you figure they want to be training and sleeping, getting their body's sleep schedule so that they're ready to be peak at that time. The last thing they probably want to do is weigh in on Friday so late in the evening.
It's weird, right?
Because they're only getting one solid day to try to correct that whole point. I don't know. But, I mean, I understand why, and we've said this time and time again, especially on a pay-per-view, that you need the U.S. market.
Got to
have the market
they
here.
They take
or
a huge cut if they do it, like, during the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, and, you know, I totally get it. But, man, that's a heavy ask for fighters. I mean, prelims guys, I'm sure they're happy to be on a big card. At least for the main card guys, they're getting on a little bit into the morning, maybe nearing, like, afternoon or something. But still, I mean, that's early.
That's early.
That's early.
That's early.
That's early to take face punches.
Sure is. So a bit of a weird schedule, but that's kind of what you got to do, right? At least the people of Singapore are getting a card. I'll be honest with you. I haven't been watching the road to the UFC tournaments. I don't know if anybody's been keeping an eye on those.
It's all people we don't know.
Yeah, I'll probably go back and watch the highlights at some point.
And that's my thought. My thought was like, I'm sure there's going to be some great fighters that come out of it. But the whole point of it was trying to find people from that market that don't have a way in or don't have a name, don't have a presence, and they're giving them a spotlight to kind of be able to do this thing. Yeah. So it's cool, but, I mean, good on you if you know the fighters going into it, you know.
There were a couple names, but, I mean, well, the hardcore names, I guess, but, you know, not many. So I didn't watch any of that, but I apologize that I can't update on that. I have been watching The Ultimate Fighter, though. I've been keeping up with The Ultimate Fighter.
I've been bad. I should have watched the last one because I know that, what's her name, Julian or Juju? Or
Juju.
Juju. I love her
Juju is cray cray.
I love her. She, I don't know. This is going to sound wrong, but I have, like, she sets off my white trash fetish that I'm just like, I love everything about her.
Yes. Cold coffee.
I've told you guys everything about my life, but like when I was younger, it's funny. I remember I was 14 years old, worked at the fair, and I remember I met this girl and her family lived in this trailer park, and she was so hot and sexy. And ever since then, I've sort of had like this white trash trailer park fetish. I just love everything trashy about it because they're awesome. So like when I saw her, I was like, oh my god, this could be like that girl or something.
Do you ever wonder?
I just love her attitude.
Have you ever like listened to like a podcast or show that you like, and you're like, I wonder what those guys are like off the air. I wonder if they're really the same. You know us. If you listen to this, you know, Darren, you know everything about us.
You know all the secrets and dirty. I would tell you off the air some funny little stories from that night at the trailer.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not trying to be disparaging her by any means, because I just love her personality. Like, just that's the same way why I like Ricky Tercio's. He just reminds me of, like, bro, we could have been kicking it at a fucking trailer park together. We're going to chop it up. You feel me?
You know what I'm saying?
Just people like that. And it's not like that, even white trash. I just bulk them because they're different, you know, or whatever. But I love her personality. I love her attitude. And then I haven't watched it, but I heard the fight was dope.
Good fight.
So I need to go back and watch that fight.
Good fight.
But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm one of the ones that just, until I hear a reason to go back and watch The Ultimate Fight, I guess I'm one of the ones that kind of just been like, I already kind of know what to expect, you know? Did you see the article that came out by FanSided that Amy put out there that I think part of it maybe came out in this past episode? Juju Miller was talking about one of the competitors or something that was spending way too much time with girls on the opposite team.
Bobby Maximus,
to the point of where, I don't know if she sort of either said or whatever, but gave the impression that dude's cheated on his wife with some of the girls in the house
or something along those lines.
That's what I got when I read it. I think part of the words that she said in the interview was just like, you know, you're going to lose your wife and your kids after when it all comes out or whatever.
Oh, my
or something.
Goodness.
Go read the article or listen to the video.
Did she do an interview or something with her?
I think Amy did an interview with her or something, but it came out on FanSided, I think, this morning or was it last night? I remember Amy sent me a message, and maybe it was last night, and it was just pointing to a FanSided. I was like, what's this? And I saw it was the girl, so I thought she was just like, hey.
So it's kind of interesting. So I have been watching it, and Bobby Maximus, who, if you remember, he's the one that's, you know, the oldest hit guy in the history. He's coming back from The Ultimate Fighter 2. But he's a motivational speaker and kind of like a sports psychologist, and that's what he does for a living. And he was sitting down with the girls on the other team, and nothing secret, really. You know, just kind of like positive affirmation and the mental mindset of a competitive athlete and all those things.
Because she brings that up. Well, not to cut you off, but just brings up about the creative editing. It's not showing some of the shit. So that's what I think she was saying, like, you're not seeing everything.
Okay, because that would make sense. So it was one of those things, because she was upset. Because, like, look, that's the other team. And I was kind of on the fence about it, because on the one hand, like, all that stuff that they're talking about, it's just generic, you know, kind of competition mindset, at least the stuff that they showed. You know, they said it was and to be fair, like, I think it's not like Bobby told his team that they couldn't come listen in or couldn't come take part. You know what I mean? I guess these girls just happened to, you know,
were more receptive to it.
More receptive to it, exactly. So I don't know. And it's weird because, like, you are on a team, but you're not really on a team. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's, I don't know. I was kind of torn. Like, I do understand the frustration, like, especially if they're saying, like, you know, what the tactical training is going on or what the game plan is.
And I think
is.
That's what they, maybe that team thought something like that was going. Like, they just thought it was weird spending so much time that maybe something like that could have been going. But I'm sure the guy didn't do anything. But I'll just leave you with the title. What the article was. Juliana Miller says, tough 30 teammate Bobby Maximus wasn't loyal to team or wife.
Oh, damn.
And then the video, I forget how long the video is, but I need to go back and watch the full thing, because I was like, oh man, maybe I'll need to go back and see, because I didn't watch the episode, so I didn't want to, like, spoil it or whatever.
I know a lot of people are like, oh, The Ultimate Fighter's played out or whatever, but I like seeing these athletes developing. What I will say is I don't necessarily, like, watch it right when it comes out, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel the need to be like, I got to know what happened in the latest episode, like, this week, the night it came out. You know, once I'm caught up on my work one night, or, you know, just looking for something to watch, like, I don't watch a lot of TV type stuff. So I don't think it's bad.
I wish they would go back maybe after the fact and do sort of like a summary, just combine all the fights together and put it in like one episode where it's just like, here's the week or the season in a nutshell, and here's all the fights. for those that don't want to deal with all this, you know.
That's not a bad idea for repackaging it, right?
Like just repackaging it.
Just have like somebody at a desk or in a green screen or whatever and be like, quarterfinal started out. It doesn't have to be like in depth, right? Just like a little bit, quarterfinal started out.
Stuff like a Kendra Perez used to do with like the Best of Pride and all that little sort of stuff, just to set it up and just say a little something.
That's not a bad idea. And then you can just be like, I don't really care about all the drama that happened, but I do want to watch the fights and see how the tournament played out.
Just like Dana's always said, like, you're never going to get a good understanding or to see the personality like fighters on Tough 30, you're not going to see that on the Contender. Contender is just about getting in the fight. But there are people that do like that. So there are people that do like the drama. Then there's those of us that are like, I just want to see the fights. And now I'm like, I hear a fight's good. I'm like, okay, fuck. I got to go back and watch that episode just to get to the fight. Obviously, we can fast forward it, you know, DVR, which is what I would probably do. I don't need to watch the whole episode. But now that there's little juicy bits like this coming, I'm like, okay.
Now you want to watch it.
Maybe I'll watch it. So, I mean, maybe they're right. You know, there is something to putting a bunch of fit men and women into a house and then leaving them there. And then madness ensues, you know. But I do just like – I like the fights. I mean, I like the fights. And it would be nice if they just kind of went back and just made it easy to just see all the little fights.
Good idea.
But – whatever. But, yeah, I do want to go back and see this one because I love her personality. It's punky. Now, if it's all bullshit, like some of the stuff she's talking about, she's going to lose a lot of face after that. Like, I'd hate that if everything that she says, like, some of it doesn't point out true. Like, if it's just saying, like, if you're just mad because a dude's spending time with the other team.
And you're saying that was cheating on the wife and all it was really.
When he's just spending time. Like, you know, if you're not seeing anything, it's one thing to be friendly. Are you taking that friendly as being affectionate?
Yeah.
Being affectionate with another woman is very different than just being friendly and doing whatever. And, you know, is it really cheating? I'd hate for you to say some shit.
That's hard accusations.
Yeah, that's a big, big accusation. So you would think she'd actually had seen stuff or heard stuff to say that. But regardless, it does intrigue me a little bit to watch the episode. And I guess that's the whole point.
I'll tell you the other thing that's been really evident, and not that I meant to spend this much time on the Ultimate Fighter since we're talking about it, is seeing how passionate Juliana Pena is about coaching and
her
team, man. Like, she comes off as
– coaching styles are very different.
Very different. She comes off – I think, you know, and I think Juliana Pena, I think sometimes – over the course of her career, man, she has been a little bit standoffish at times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it seems like there's just a chip on her shoulder. Like, she's – like, you interview her, and you can tell she's just, like, waiting to see, like, what trap you're trying to set for her. When in reality, you're like, yeah, I just want to get your thoughts. And I think she's – eased off on that over time. I don't think she's that way anymore. I think she used to be kind of tough to interview. I think now she's good. I think she's gotten over it. Maybe it's her work with Combate Global. Maybe the fact that she's done some more broadcasting, like, maybe that's helped her loosen up a little bit.
That's certain just getting reps and all that other stuff.
Maybe that's helped her be more comfortable with it. Maybe that's been it. But
that's probably
she's a lot better.
Good point.
But boy, you see her as a coach, man. She's into it. Whereas Amanda, not that Amanda isn't into it, but you're right. I think Amanda's a little more hands off. Let me kind of oversee the direction.
And
we've got the coaches that'll handle, you know, kind of the individual.
Because you
stuff.
See her get into it when she's watching the fight. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll see her get, like, emotionally invested in the actual fight. But I don't hear a lot of the stuff coming out that I would think that she would say. I think she expects it from a fight. I think her head works. Like, she can see what she would do, but I think she maybe has a more difficult time articulating that in that moment.
But remembering first, of course, that it is her second language.
It is a second language.
That may have something to do with it, although she does spend a lot of time speaking English. That may have something to do with it. But you're right. It's been said over the years, you know, like Michael Jordan, right? They said that, you know, he couldn't necessarily coach somebody else to do it because it's like –
just teach people to be like you.
Just do what I do.
Do what I do.
Oh, just be Michael Jordan.
Just be Jordan.
Okay, no problem.
Is it the shoes?
Yeah.
Because I can put the shoes on.
Yeah.
Do you think, and I don't know, this just be speculating, do you think also, too, the difference is I see Amanda reaching the sunset of where she wants to be fighting. She's nearing. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's the difference as well as somebody like Julianne that sees a far future, a lot more of her future fighting and interacting with some of these people, as opposed to somebody that maybe is like, one day soon, I might be done with all this? Do you think there could be any of that, or is it just a matter of it's just a difference of maybe just like you brought up Jordan, she's more Jordan and less Eric Nixick or something?
I don't think consciously, like, I don't think it'd be a conscious decision, but I think subconsciously you might be onto something, because I don't think there's any. I mean, I think we've known for a while. I mean, Amanda has openly voiced,
we've been saying
I don't
it for like
know
a
how
year
much
or two.
Longer I want to do this, not sure how much longer I want to be around.
Yeah.
And what's funny is I think a lot of us thought that was just I'm not getting competitive matchups. There's nothing to get me excited anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm dominating everybody, so why do I want to keep doing this? But I don't think that's it. I think she's just kind of done with the sport and maybe having a kid now. Maybe that's part of it. Like, she just wants to be around her kid.
Because she loves her kid. It's so funny. She always tries to bring the kid around. Yeah. Like, during the fight, you could tell she wants to soak up everything. Yeah, it just felt to me like you feel like that she is already starting to make that sort of separation and that distance, you know, between the two of them.
So I bet it wouldn't be like a conscious decision. We're like, no, I'm not going to see these people around anymore. But I bet subconsciously, like, absolutely, just like, well, I'm kind of almost done with this stuff.
Yeah, like one last hurrah. Like the UFC, and that's probably good on the UFC to get it while they could for that possibility. This matchup sets up the whole, you know, rematch. But also, I think they realize, you know, if they're going to have her around to do this sort of thing, like, they had to do it now. Like, you couldn't wait another year or two to try to get her to do this.
I'm going
to
tell you what, man. And considering all this, it really does make me think about the rematch, because I don't want to be disrespectful to Juliana Pena at all, but the night that she won, I was like, she had a great night and Amanda had a terrible night, you know, and that's what it felt like to me. Not that Juliana Pena didn't have the skills that it takes to beat Amanda Nunes. She does, but we're talking about Amanda Nunes. You know, it's just like when somebody beats Valentina Shevchenko, when it happens, because it'll happen eventually, right?
Yep.
It's not like I'm going to, you know, I'll be honest, because I don't pick anybody against her. Like, I just don't see it.
Yep.
And so I, you know, I don't want to disrespect Juliana Pena in any way, but I felt like Amanda Nunes had a bad night that night. But now I wonder, like, is it just that the motivation maybe isn't – maybe is it not that she had a bad night, but maybe and so immediately I thought, okay, that's going to wake her ass up. She's going to be pissed that she lost. She's going to come back. She's going to be hungry. And maybe she is, but I don't know. It's I'm not sure.
Yeah, she just didn't look the same in that fight. I mean, like, she said all the right things going into that fight. She looked the right part, you know, when they did the face-off. But then there was something different on fight night. You know, and I don't think it was just the sheer power of Juliana and her jab that was just rocking her to where Amanda was just like, huh. She just looked like she didn't have answers that night. You know, that there some gear didn't get switched into in her mind or body to, like, get foreign. And then as the damage got on further, it just felt like that gear became unattainable. And I don't know what that part is. You know, we've seen Connor say all the right things and do all the right things in training, but then he gets in there and just something doesn't click to send it into that final gear. And I've wondered if we're just starting to get that with her. Maybe she either realizes it or maybe whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. What would have been an immediate lock for me on Amanda, which I picked her in that fight against Julia on the first one, I don't know as much now. Maybe if I watched the tough, I would see what sort of level of involvement she is, where her head's at in the game. If she seems distant and she seems whatever here, I have to think that that's going to transfer over to what her training is.
I do, too. Now I'm thinking, like, because, again, I thought, rematch, I'm picking Amanda. Like, and this is the night she lost. I was like, nah, rematch, I'm picking Amanda. I know.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know. And don't even know. This whole, like, leaving an ATT thing and saying, like, from, you know, well, Kayla had something to do with it. Like, Kayla's not even in your league, dude. Like, she's in another promotion. Like, why? If she signed with the UFC and then you said, well, I don't feel comfortable training with her, you know, now that she's in the UFC, 100%. I get it. 100%. Totally understand. But she's not even there. By the time Kayla does come to the UFC, which I believe she will at some point, you might not even be around anymore. So I don't know, man. It's weird.
Is she with anybody particular? Like, she's not at any really sort of gym. She's just doing her own thing, right?
Yeah, she's got her own space, and I think bringing.
I mean, I know
coaches.
She's going to have great people that come in, but man, we've seen what happens when people try to do things on their own. She needs to still have a group of people that are the boss, and that are dictating. We've seen what's happened with Tony. We've seen what's happened with some people that just try to do it. They understand the physicality and the mindset to do it, but I think at some point you need that person that's pushing you, so that when you have the days when you think you're completely there, they notice that you're not there, and they push you in the right thing, you know? I don't know, man. It's just, I get it if that is true about the whole Kayla thing, and that was disturbing her to where she felt like she couldn't get good work. If anything else, it also sounds like a sign that, you know, somebody that's just like maybe not making the right decisions leading into a fight. I don't know. I mean, she has everything about – I mean, she has all the skills, obviously, to go in there and start Juliana, but – she needs to be in there 100%. And if right now, you know, she wasted a lot of time doing this show and then, you know, she's enjoying motherhood, which she should, and she absolutely loves it. You know, I just don't know. I mean, I just don't know. It's not a lock for me anymore, I guess, what all that boils down to of me just being a mushmouth is just not a lock for me anymore, and it used to be.
I agree. I think you summed it up nice there, man. We'll find out on July 30th in Dallas. Actually, I'm excited to go back to Dallas.
I won't be there. It doesn't look like
Aww.
It. No, our boy Matt in Dallas.
That's true. Matt Wells lives right there in Dallas. So
it's all about saving dollars.
Rolling solo. That's a shame.
Well, I'll still end up, I'm sure, editing shit from Vegas.
He'll still be a part of it.
But I'll be here.
I'm actually excited about that one because I get to go see my family. So bring my kid with me and all that and see the parents. So I'm excited.
What was the Mexican
one.
Place you used to work at?
Abuelos.
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 Remember we ate there once and went, didn't
solid,
we?
Solid.
It was good. It was
solid,
good.
Solid Mexican restaurant. Yeah.
It's a good spot.
If anybody in the Texas, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Ohio areas familiar with
over.
The. With the Abuelos chain, yeah, that's where I worked before I was doing this full time. So I left.
Solid.
I left them in 2008 is when I went full time to move out here, or 2007, late 2007 I think is when I left there, because I started in Junkie 2006, and I was doing it for free at first, and then just intern work, and then intern turned to part time, and then part time turned to full time. But Abuelos was the restaurant I worked at, so shout out to everybody that still can't get over at Abuelos.
That place was good.
Yeah,
that was good. Remind me of a place back home called Chi-Chi's, which doesn't exist anymore.
Chi-Chi's.
Chi-Chi's,
I know Chi-Chi's.
But, yeah, I dig that sort of stuff. I mean, I can see where some people are like, oh, that's more like corporate, you know, Mexican. You know, that's not authentic, but they have great dishes there. You know, I'm like, fuck it. I like all kinds of Mexican. It could be authentic. It could be corporate. It could be whatever. I just like Mexican food.
So in high school, I was living on my own, and I didn't have much money. And I would go to Pancho's Mexican. There was a Pancho's Mexican buffet. I don't know if you ever had those up there. Yeah. It was like all you can eat Mexican for like,
buffet.
For like
wow.
$6. Oh, yeah. Not good. Not good. It was like the CeCe's pizza of Mexican food, basically.
Dude, there's some, you know, and CeCe's is like a guilty pleasure. It is not good pizza.
It's
not great
terrible.
Pizza. But every once in a while, like, I don't mind CeCe's. And I feel like dog shit after every time. I'm just like, why did you do it? And just like, it's cheap and it's like a pizza. But, yeah, every time afterward, I'm like, my tummy hurts. You know, I'm just like, it was not great, but it's just like, it's so super cheap.
Man. Oh,
it's
man. Like,
whatever.
What are we talking about? All right, USC 275.
This is why they listen.
Tashira versus Prohaska is the card this weekend. Shout out to everybody over there in Singapore that is covering it. I will be watching it from my couch. I actually might be working on. I won't even say what I'm doing. I'm working on something.
Come over here. We can always watch here.
Interesting. I might have something that you might want to do. I
just need internet. It was funny. Some of the people in the class are like, we're going to get together at this one bar or whatever. I was like, well, I kind of need to work.
Oh, because you got to work. So you still got to process the videos.
I just got to be around just in case. You know, I mean, just because of backup. I mean, they might not really need, but I mean, like, I want to be that person that I always wish that was there for
They're
me.
Like, let
when
me
I'm
cut
not
that
there.
For you. Let me
like,
help that.
Do you need help?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a social thing. Oh, you're in the weeds. I got you. So, and it's an excuse to watch the pay-per-views as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like me, which I probably shouldn't, but I feel like a dick if I'm ordering the fight and I'm not working because I just feel like, is this –
As far as like
money?
Like expensing it, or
yeah,
whatever.
It's expensing it. I feel like a D-bag.
That's one thing we're pretty lucky for is in our line of work we get to expense all the pay-per-views. So when people complain about like how expensive it is to be an MMA fan, I'm like, I can't really relate because I don't have to pay for any of it. But it's interesting if you're not really working it, can you justify it to the company?
Yeah,
I would
because I'd hate for them to be like, sorry guys, we need to start. We're nickel and dime, and you know.
But me
do
personally,
really need,
I would say yeah, because
going.
Because how? Well, I mean, I guess for you it'd be an interesting conversation because for the writers and for like anybody, let's say somebody is going to be on the spinning backlick episode or whatever,
right.
Like gotta watch. How am I going to talk about it if I didn't watch it? So that's an easy expense. But for
that's
somebody that their primary role is to just be a videographer, they could maybe be like, well, you didn't have to watch it.
Well, even then, I'm like, well, screw you. Then don't schedule me for the event.
Too funny. All right, well, listen. I got to
keep track of the action, you know, to make sure I'm looking for those social cuts in case somebody doesn't,
I know.
You know.
What to cut. There you go. Justified right
there.
Expense done.
Expense done.
Suck it, accountants. Glover Teixeira versus Jiří Procházka is the main event. Procházka is the favorite here, and I understand why. I'm intrigued by this fight, man. I really, really am intrigued by this fight.
He's a big boy, man.
He is a big boy.
The size when they face off, when they stand up, I mean, like, I immediately, the old guy in me is like, come on, Glover,
right.
You got this. But then you look and you're like, oh, my God, that dude is – he's such an impressive, like, specimen, like, opposite of
they're
them.
Listed at 6'3 and 6'2, and it just doesn't feel doesn't that way
look it.
At all.
It does not.
Doesn't
look
feel
it.
And Prochazka's got kind of that range. Now, you look at the reach is listed at 76 for Glover, 80 for Jiří Procházka. So the reach advantage, I think, kind of gives you that feel of
maybe
that.
That's why, because his arms are so much longer. You're just like, there's no way they're the same height.
Jiří is dangerous, no question about it. The guy, I mean, what he did last time out against Dominic Reyes was just absolutely unbelievable. I mean, that was just a scary knockout. And certainly he has the ability to finish his fights. I mean, he's got an astounding number of knockouts in his career. He's got an astounding number of first-round knockouts in his career. So, I mean, the dude is as dangerous as it gets. I don't know how you prepare for him in terms of his movement. You know, I talked to Jiří, and he's like, you know, I asked him, I'm like, do your coaches ever try to coach that wild out of you? You know, that like maybe it's not. I mean, it seems to be a good thing, but did they ever tell you like maybe you should be? And he was like
if he's expending energy, yeah, that he doesn't just, need to do or something.
You know, because I think a lot of people point out, and rightfully so, that because he is so wild in the way he moves, he does leave himself vulnerable for attacks as well, because he's kind of out of position and that sort of thing, and he's kind of taking chances. And he was like, dude, I think the unpredictability is what makes me who I am. He's like, I don't even know what I'm going to do next. I know my opponent can't know what I'm going to do, and I think that plays to my favor. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. But listen, Glover has been in this game for a long time.
Yeah.
He's been tested. He's faced the best of the best. And Jiří,
Thiago Santos, Anthony Smith, Jan Blachowicz.
Come on, man.
Nikita Krylov, Ian Kudalaba, Carl Roberson. I mean, good dudes.
You know, I use the word. So when I was speaking.
That's only partial of the list. I stopped halfway
oh,
through.
Oh, I know. So when I was talking to Dana White the other day, I used the word, as I was asking him about this fight, I used the word, you know, a little bit unproven. And I think that's wrong. I mean, how can you be 28-3-1 and be unproven? But just 2-0 in the UFC. And I think what I meant and probably should have clarified is unproven at the highest level in the UFC. I mean, CB Dolloway he beat outside of the UFC, yes. But, you know, this is CB Dolloway who was at the end of his career. Fabio Maldonado, same thing, end of his career. Mo LaWall, same thing, end of his career. Brandon Halsey, a recognizable name. And listen, he does have some other names along the way, but you know, and I don't mean to demean Volkan Oezdemir or Dominic Reyes either, because I guess he has been tested. Those two guys are former title challengers, so they're legitimate names. But
he beat Vadim Nemkov back in the day.
He did beat Vadim. So listen, I don't know. I think the right play here is Jiří Procházka. I really do. I think he's the young, dangerous, in form, streaking. I think he's the right guy. But I think Glover Teixeira, to just look at this fight and be like, I know exactly how this fight's going to go, to write him off, and to understand that, look, if Glover gets inside and takes this fight to the ground, if he takes this thing into round two, into round three, into round four, we've never seen anything remotely close to that from Jiří Procházka, there could be some surprises here. So I am intrigued. Last week's main event, and I know we're talking about two totally different things. We're talking about an ESPN Plus fight night versus a pay-per-view. Of course, the pay-per-view main events could be more intriguing. But I do think there's so many fights that we see sometimes where I'm like, cold coffee, man. I'm 90% sure this is exactly how this fight. Anything can happen in a fight.
Yep.
Anything can happen in a fight. But I'm 90% certain I know how this thing is going to go. This one, I'm not feeling that. This, to me, is not the Jiří is the clear play, but Glover has a chance. This, to me, is a good fight with a lot of possibilities. I'm excited by it.
Which one do you feel like Glover had you think this one or when it was Jan, when he was able to get the belt? I think that was one fight where I was like, I love Glover. I appreciate him, but I just think Jan's got too much skill. I think he's got the youth. I mean, he's probably not big of a difference, but I just remember thinking like, oh, you know, I love Glover, but I think it's a lock on Jan. Do you feel like this one is more closer than that one? Or do you feel like Jiří is coming in with more hype and more – do you feel Glover faces more danger – well, more danger is not the right word. But you think he faces more of a tough challenge on paper without taking what happened in that fight with Jan, just what he was bringing into it? Do you feel – that he's more in danger in this fight or that fight when he actually got the belt?
This one. I will be honest with you. That is the thing. So here's the thing is that, like, I do believe, like, Glover's got power, all right? Yeah. But I do believe, like, if this turns into a kickboxing matchup,
it'll be bad.
It's not going
good. It'll be bad.
Yeah, if he can't get the fight to the ground, it's not going good. But I think he can. I think he can get the fight to the ground. And I think once he gets to the ground, I think he can keep it there. And I think he can end it there.
Yeah. It'd be one thing if it was, I think, a guy that we knew didn't have experience. And we're like, oh, just looking at his background, he really needs to get the ground. I mean, this is Glover, which what's his record now? Like 50,000 fights, I think.
40.
Like, he's got all the experience in the world. Like, if there's going to be a guy that has some tools in the bag to try to, all right, this isn't working, I need to pivot to this.
Yeah.
Okay, this isn't working, I need to pivot to this. Glover's that dude that has multiple things that he can go to. So, I mean, that definitely works in his favor. It's hard for me to think that power, you know, and that youth and that speed that Yuri's going to come in, that Glover's got to get that first round, the first couple rounds is going to be super, super tough.
Got to survive.
You know, if Glover's able to tire him out, maybe he's got a chance to get him down the ground. But, I mean, I just think that youth and that power, even if Glover's able to sort of get him locked up against the cage, I think Yuri's going to be able to just break out of it. You know, he's going to have to get tired for Glover to do what he needs to do, unless he just goes in there thinking, like, Glover doesn't have what he's got. He doesn't have the strikes to hurt my chin.
Right.
And if he just leaves it up there and thinking, like, oh, you can't hurt me, old man, that'd be a dumb move. But I just feel that I would give the first three rounds really, really tough for Glover. If he can get through that, I feel better for him, because then at that point, Geary hasn't been able to figure out Glover, and he hasn't been able to do what he needs to do.
The tension of that first round, the tension of the first 2 to 3 minutes, man, it's going to be electric. It's going to be electric. I'm looking forward to that one. Co-main event, Valentina Shevchenko versus Tyler Santos. Okay, I've said it before, and I'll just stick with it. I mean, I just said it earlier. Like, I don't pick anybody against Valentina Shevchenko. I will say that Tyler Santos, I know a lot of people probably like, just write her off. I mean, and I've said it before, like, I struggle to get excited about women's flyweight contender fights because I just don't see any of them beating Valentina Shevchenko. But I will say, I mean, Tyler Santos, athletically speaking, I think she's got what you'd want to see against somebody like Valentina Shevchenko. I mean, I just don't – I hate to say it's a foregone conclusion because I feel like, you know, Valentina Shevchenko just wins everything right now. But I do think – while I'm not trying to lay this out that, like, oh, this is as intriguing as the main event was, I will say I'm going to watch this fight. I think Tyler Santos has at least the physical tools to make this interesting. Now, whether or not it'll be done, you got to fight a damn perfect fight to beat Valentina. That's the problem. But, you know, as far as Tyler being able to strike, being able to grapple, having the strength that it takes, because obviously Valentina is such a phenomenal athlete, I think Tyler's got all that. So, I gotta be honest. I give Tyler a better chance, even though I don't pick anybody in the world against Valentina Shevchenko. So I think while I'm telling you don't write off Glover Teixeira, I'm not trying to say it with the same amount of confidence. But I will say, and maybe I'm wrong, but if you're looking at this fight as just like, here's a girl that has absolutely no chance, and why is this fight even happening? I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, that would be wrong. And she has every bit of confidence that I think you need to do in there. But when you look at her record, 19-1. I mean, she's a stud. I mean, she's done everything she needed to do to get her to this point, and she wouldn't be this point if she didn't have the skills and if she didn't have the talent to get here, and she's got the belief. You know, you go back and you look at who she's went through, the path that she's gotten to get here is not the same as like what Valentina's went through. But that being said, she's got good size, she's got good reach, she's got good length, she's got good heart, and she's got good skills, man. She's a striker, but she's got great ground skills as well. We just see that people don't have a good opportunity to get Valentina on the ground and keep her on the ground to even do anything.
And that's the thing, is that that's to me what it boils down to, because you're right. She's a capable striker, Tyler is. I could be wrong, but I don't think anybody in her weight class outstrikes Valentina Shevchenko. I just think she's – I do not think – you outstrike Valentina over the course of five rounds. I just don't believe you do it. Now, if you're Amanda Nunes and you're 20 pounds heavier, then
that's a difference.
But it's a totally different
thing.
That's
the only time she's lost.
But in her weight class, I don't believe that anybody can outstrike her. But if you're at least competent enough in your striking that she's not going to overwhelm you on the feet and she's not going to intimidate you on the feet, that you can get inside, that you can hold her against the cage, that you can get her on the ground, where she does have – look, Valentina's wrestling is good. Valentina's jiu-jitsu is good. So I'm not saying, well, she's a striker. Just get her off her feet and she's in trouble. She's not. She's well-rounded. But I do think that's the area you have to try to engage her to beat her, not on the feet.
And unfortunately, though, fights start standing.
All five rounds.
All fights start standing.
But I just – Again, it's one of those things where I just want to say I'm not picking Tyler by any stretch, but I am excited to see if she does present Valentina some challenges, so we'll see.
I mean, it's when you get something like that, when somebody brings a challenge, Valentina always shows us some new wrinkle or something to just make us appreciate her more.
Yep.
I want to see that. I want to see her get challenged so she gets to those moments where we're just like, wow, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, watching the fights with Amanda was so impressive because it was just like you felt like there were moments where the fight could have went either way. And some people say one fight did go another way or
right.
whatever. I mean, so it's just fantastic, man. So I hope she gets in there. I hope she gets challenged. And I hope she rises to the occasion to show us something even better where we're like, man, just hang her on the mantle as the best there ever will be.
Amazing,
and just
man.
Walk away.
She's so good. I just love watching her fight.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the featured fight that everybody is excited about, Zhang Weili versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the rematch of the fight of the year in 2020, the rematch of the greatest women's fight of all time, the rematch of a fight that was so damn good, it almost feels like you don't need the caveat of saying greatest women's fight of all time. It was just
yeah.
one of the greatest
fights, one of the best fights
of all time, man.
Yeah.
All right, so
they dismantled their faces.
Oh,
literally, their faces were rearranged, and like Joanna had a whole nother forehead or two up there.
Was crazy,
it was
man.
So nasty.
And it was so, man, the buzz in that building, and that was the last pre-COVID event, if you remember, man. The buzz was so great. And, man, I remember, like, when it went to the cards, like, everybody's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You got it. Like, I'm not sure. I don't know. Unbelievable fight. This time it's three rounds. A lot of difference going on. So, a lot to unpack here. Joanna Jędrzejczyk, you know, hasn't fought in 2 years. So you wonder, is there going to be timing issues, that sort of thing early on that people sometimes have after a layoff? Maybe. I mean, she's been fighting for a long time in her career. So, I tend to believe she can pick it right back up where she left off, considering the high level that she's at. Obviously, an American top team, she's getting phenomenal looks as well. So there's that. Now, Zhang Weili actually trained in Thailand for this one, so she wasn't with the Fight Ready team. She said she wanted to be in Thailand. She's kind of reunited with her old coaches that she had on her rise up. And the other thing, I spoke to her yesterday, and I haven't written the piece for it yet. I didn't do video with it just because with the translator and stuff, it's obviously a little bit less exciting or whatever. But one thing she did say is that in the first fight, she proved to be incredibly stubborn because she was like, I wanted to prove a point that I could outstrike Joanna. You know, here's this vaunted striker. I want to show the world that I can outstrike her. And so I stood with her for five rounds. She's like, this time, she's like, I don't feel like I have to prove that. She's like, so wrestling, you know, I asked her, I was like, you're saying, so you think this fight might look different? She's like, yeah, it might. You know, I might use a little wrestling. I think, and I think that would probably be wise. The other interesting thing about it, too, is if that fight had ended after three rounds, Joanna would have taken the win by split decision because she was up after three rounds.
Yeah.
Zhang won two of she won the final two rounds on two of the three judges' scorecards to take the split decision. So, you know, just three rounds versus five changes it. I guess what I'm saying is, styles do make fights, and I suppose it's possible that they come together and have another epic clash, but I don't want to be the bearer of bad news or temper anybody's enthusiasm, but they can't go out there and do that again, right? They can't go have rounds 6, 7, and 8, can they?
I'm sure their bodies don't want that to happen. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I did like the it seemed like, at least in the media day face-offs and stuff that I saw, there was that little edge of Joanna there where she's like, oh, I'm going to get in your head, but then there was a lot more respect, like, how can you not have the respect knowing that they pushed each other so hard to that breaking point where a lesser person, a lesser fighter would have stopped, would have broke down or something. So I think that we get some I like the fact that they're getting the respect. But, yeah, I mean, I think each one are going to push it, but I think they realize that they can't – it's not going to bode well for their body, maybe how the fight will play out if they give everything too early. But they also realize that they don't have a lot of time to make up
minutes,
at the end. You
right.
can't – you know, why save it for, you know, the locker room? You got to use it out while it's all right there. But they got to be smart about it, you know. But some of the stuff, some of that damage, I mean, how quickly does your body – will your body remember that, and will it swell up easier after? I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, like, we see where people get that scar tissue where if they bleed,
it cuts really
easily.
They
cut
that.
Very easy.
Yeah.
I just wonder if, you know, some of that trauma comes back, you know, because Zhang Weili punches like a madman. a lot of force. So I don't know. I mean, I'd hate to see Ioana get busted up really quickly and then, you know, make some bad decision, because then she's like, I got to take care of this right now. But I don't know. It's going to be an interesting fight. Where am I leaning on that? I think I picked Zhang Weili on that one.
Here's the interesting one. I did my weekly betting breakdown. It's a super quick segment. It's like 60 seconds, 90 seconds for Sports Illustrated. And the fight that because Justin wasn't free this week because of his schedule, so Robin is another host. He filled in. And the fight that he wanted to focus on was this fight because he liked the first one so much. He's like, I want to talk about this one. I'm like, all right, let's talk about this one. And I'm like you. I think I'm kind of leaning towards Zhang Weili, but because I think I'm kind of leaning that way, and I'm not saying I'm damn sure she's going to win this fight, I like the idea of being able to take Ioana with plus money because she's the underdog here. And if you can get plus money on Ioana in a fight that, I mean, again, that last one was so damn close that when it went to the cards, it was like, did she, didn't she, did she, didn't she? And I think if it's a coin flip of a matchup and you can get plus money on it, I feel like that's the right way to play it if you're going to put some money on it. I mean, I'm sure there's some gambling experts out there that would tell me I'm doing it. I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like you should just pick who you think has the greatest chance to win the fight and put your money there. But I don't know, the idea that you can get Ioana at plus money in a rematch of a fight that was that damn close, I don't know, it's kind of appealing.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it so much tougher when you start bringing in that other stuff where it's like all the odds and all that stuff, especially when that's why I think I like just staff picks, because I think if I saw odds and I saw this, it might confuse me or maybe sway my pick a certain way.
Yeah, because the MMA junkie picks are just straight up like wins, losses, period.
Who wins, who loses kind of deal. But
not
I
like
think,
manage a bankroll or get extra points if you pick underdogs or something like that.
I think it would be more stressful, you know, and it would make me think way too hard on it, where this I'm just like, my gut leans this way and that's what I'm going to pick or whatever. But I can't find my set pick, but I'm pretty sure I picked Zhang Weili on this one.
Did you get it to me? How's Matt Erickson? Is he hanging in there, man? Because Matt Erickson has always handled staff picks.
Yeah,
I need
to reach
media
out.
That he's
he had to get his – I don't want to say all the procedures, but he had to get a procedure done. But I need to see if he's actually back home, because he was supposed to get something done, and then hopefully that was going to fix him up and he was going to go. But, yeah, he was playing with stomach problems, and they were having a real hard time kind of figuring it out. And I think they got it sorted, at least where they thought it was, and that meant that he was going to have a small a surgical procedure. I don't even want to say small a surgical procedure. And then he was going to be able to go home. But I need to check in with him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my thoughts, we probably should have said something about that a while ago or whatever. But, yeah.
Well, at first, so I think he was being kind of private about it. But now I see he's posting on social media. So, again, I'm not going to share all the medical details. If you follow him on social media, he's sharing them. But, I don't know, just saying staff picks made me think of Matt and hope he's doing okay. So, I guess I
just
wanted
to send some thoughts. Yeah, because people last week were like, where are the staff picks? And I didn't even think about it because he got stuck in the hospital, you know, while they were trying to figure shit out, that it didn't get published. And so I remember somebody chirped about it on Twitter. So I just sent my picks to him online, which wouldn't have been a good one. So I hope he didn't parlay my shit, because I had a few
had
wrong
a
picks
week.
In there. I had a couple of wrong ones in there. So I might not be atop the leaderboard anymore.
Oh, man. Hate to hear that. Hopefully Maddie is doing all right.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm a flyweight division dork, man. I'll be honest. I'm a grappling dork, man. I just get all excited for grappling, and I love the flyweights too. And I love this fight between Rogério Bontorin and Manel Kopp. I think this fight is phenomenal. I was high on Manel coming into the UFC.
Yeah.
He had a couple of setbacks, which made me wonder. I'm like, was I seeing the wrong things?
Yeah.
But he's looked great since. He's streaking now. But Rogério Bontorin, a guy that, man, I loved him coming in as well, man. And you know, he's also had a couple of setbacks along the way as well. But, I mean, these two guys are high-level fighters, and I love that they're getting featured on the main card here. Manel's my pick. I'm a sucker for the star boy, man, but Bontorin is a stud as well. I think it's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, I think I'd pick Kopp as well.
Bontorin, you know, has had some setbacks, but you look at, you know, who he's been fighting against. He's been fighting against the absolute best in the division. So I love this fight. It's honestly, as weird as it sounds, I might be looking forward to that fight as much as anything else on the card, except for the fact that, you know, the light heavyweight title fight is so damn good. And then Jack Della Maddalena, the Australian that everybody is extremely high on, you know, giving all the praises that this is the next guy. But, you know, check that out. We're going to put you on the main card pay-per-view early in your career against Ramazan Ameev, who – is just a tough out for anybody, man. Yeah. So this is a big test for Jack Della Maddalena. But, man, you talk to anybody that's around him, that's from that scene, they will sing you his praises the whole day long and tell you why this is the guy. So big spot for him here.
Who'd you pick in that? I mean, I guess we'll just – since we'll round out our main card, who'd you pick?
Pick in this one? Well, I don't – the staff – I'm in first place in the staff picks over at
– Staff pick one.
Over at MMA Underground, MixedMartialArts.com.
Who's number two over
there? Well, I'm also number two. I am the only one. There is no number – okay,
but I guess it's – well, just because it's the main card. So some of those that are listening to us for all their gambling
we always used to get our staff picks. Obviously, the reigning defending champion MMA Junkie, even though I'm no longer there. I'm still can't take it away from me. Once a champ, always a champ.
That's it.
I would lean Jack Della Maddalena in here. I think
that's what I did.
But I would caution again anybody that wanted to put a significant amount of cash on it that Ramzan Ameev is not an easy out. So.
Yeah. All right. So let's just run it back. What's your 5-pick parlay?
Ooh, 5-pick parlay?
Yep. Just run us down what your main card was. For those that are gambling. Gambling degenerates put a $2 pick on this.
I love it. All right, look. Jiří.
Yep.
Valentina.
Yep.
See, here's where I'm torn because I'm leaning Zhang, but I like the idea of Joanna as an underdog. But you know what? So let's just go
parlay.
Straight.
Parlay, yeah, do it.
It's a parlay, so I'm thinking, I hate to go all chalk on the parlay, but because Jack Della's the favorite, Manel Kopp's the favorite. I hate to go all chalk, but so yeah, you know what? Let me go Jiří, Valentina, Joanna, Manel, Jack.
That's not bad. I'm the exact same, except I'm going Zhang Weili.
So you're going all chalk. See, that's
– yeah. Well, but, I mean, it's not even like – you don't even need to show me favorites. I just – like, especially like Jack, I didn't realize he was the favorite, especially when you're going against a guy that's 20-5. He's 11-2. But he's just a stud. But, yeah, Kopp, man. I really liked his mentality and his performance his last fight. Thought it was great.
All thanks to a pedicure. He said,
"Is that what he said?"
Yeah. So his whole thing. If you guys missed this, so he fought in shoes when he fought overseas, and then he came to the UFC. And his first two fights, he's like, "Dude, I was slipping everywhere." He's like, "I couldn't get my footing underneath because I can't wear shoes." He's like, "I was slipping all over the mat." He's like, "I just never felt right." And he's like, "It screwed me up." He's like, and then somebody suggested that I go get a pedicure?
Okay.
Pedicure. That I go get a pedicure, and I don't know what exactly they do in this pedicure to make sure. He's like, I got this pre-fight pedicure, and he's like, and my feet got much better traction.
Huh.
So
I wonder if, like, some of his feet were some of that built up, like, hardened skin on the back of his heels. I wonder if they did some of that thing where they, like, sanded off or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe just refreshed all the skin down there or something.
Yeah, because if there's something that you –
yeah, because it's not like it'd be like, oh, they removed the toe claws that I had that I was – didn't realize I was running funny because of my toe claws. Yeah, probably something simple.
Fighters
do
have the worst feet of any if any human beings in the planet.
I would imagine something that – especially if somebody wore wrestling shoes, those tight little wrestling shoes, I imagine those people are even worse than a regular fighter because a regular fighter, at least your feet are spread out and they're like doing whatever. You see some of those weirdos out there that run – like distances barefoot.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's bizarre.
I'm like, they're nuts. That's bizarre. You know, like, that's just crazy. But I think, because Dan Tomlin, he's in the Wimp to Warrior with me as well.
I meant to say, because he started late. He didn't start with
the rest
of you guys.
Yeah, he started in the second week.
We haven't been talking about Dan Tomlin. You've been giving your weekly updates.
Yeah.
But, and I know I promised people we wouldn't talk about your training every week in and week out.
And we've been good. We didn't bring it up
at
all.
And we didn't, but I didn't want to let this go without saying I'm happy to see Dan Tomlin training again because I know – how passionate he is about training. I know he had some health issues that stopped him from training
him
for years. And I'm happy for him because I know how happy it makes him.
Yeah, it's great having him in there. And he's been a big help as well. Like, so I did some when we were sort of pummeling and doing some of the stuff today, we did that with him. But, I mean, the coaches as well, as soon as Dan showed up the first day and they're like, oh, dude, welcome back.
That's
and,
awesome.
And so a lot of times when some of the stuff, they're like, if you need – and he's like, and if you see Dan going to link, he's like, feel free to ask him something. So they gave him a lot of respect or whatever.
Very cool.
But he goes and uses – he wears wrestling shoes. And wrestling shoes to me are very, very narrow.
They are.
Like, I would think if somebody wears those, I would think their feet are very – like – like it's just smashing their feet up. I would think that their feet would be pretty bad, but
like they don't make wrestling shoes in your size, probably.
No, they do not. No, they do not. There's a lot of shoes that don't make shoes in my. I need the wide.
Like, bro, I'll take those Air Flintstones.
I remember there was a point where I remember years back, one of the UFC trips, they did like a media day at Reebok or something, and then
I wasn't at that one, but I remember
Reebok
that.
Was like, "Hey, Boston we're trip. So glad you guys are here. Go, here's like $100. Go like pick gear. Just take gear." So I was like, "Oh, this is awesome. I'm gonna go look at the shoes." I couldn't fit any of their damn shoes. So I was like, I'm a Nike guy. F you, Reebok. I'm a Nike guy because Nike's got some fat feet.
That's
fat
funny,
feet
man.
Shoes,
that's
you know.
That's funny.
So, yeah, whatever.
You know what's funny? It was funny when you said $100. I was like, oh, so you could afford like one T-shirt?
It was ridiculous. I ended up getting stuff for like Heather because I couldn't get anything. I got like a I think a workout jacket and something else.
That stuff's expensive, like, man. I know they never sold
ridiculous.
A lot of that gear, but I mean, dude, the entry. I did notice at the Apex the other day. I think they've come out with like a new line. That's like they still have the nice stuff,
yeah.
But now they have like a I hate to say cheaper line, but
entry level.
Yeah, entry level or something like where it's like you can get some shirts now for like $25-$30 because dude, like I would walk by that merchandise stand at the Apex and you see like. T-shirt $80, like hoodie $120, like what?
Yeah, but there was a hat I saw in one of the last events I had because I was looking at they had a belt that they wanted like $400 for, and then there was like I remember the posters weren't that expensive as bad, but then I saw a hat and I was like, yo, what's a hat? I like hats, and they're like, oh, $40. I was like, bro, I'm not gonna buy a $40 hat.
Yeah,
I didn't even like the UFC design on
not
it.
That
I was
much,
like,
yeah.
I was like, no,
not
$40. Thank you.
You know, I will say too for maybe people that haven't looked in a long time, if you're a collector of the autographed posters, because you touched on it,
yeah,
I think that is just a function of the pandemic and a function of fighting at the Apex. You know, when you go do a, because I used to buy some of those posters and I'm proud of some of the ones that like UFC 100 is a cool one. The Return to Brazil, you know what I mean? Obviously big names, but just and then I would buy some like I bought one in China because you know it had like the Chinese lettering on it. I bought one in Russia because it had the Russian lettering on it. So I have a couple from it got to a point where I couldn't afford them because some of the ones, you know, they started charging like $500. The Connor ones were like $1,000.
Yeah.
And I can't afford that, but I have a cool collection of some of the autographed posters. You see, if you ever watch my videos, you see some of the ones I have like hanging in my office. But
I wonder how much I went over there.
But I was going to say, so now the pay-per-view. So I think the pay-per-view ones are still pretty expensive, still like $200 to $300, which isn't super expensive, but not cheap.
That seems very moderate compared to what they have done.
Boy, they were. But I noticed too, and it might be worth it if anybody's into this stuff and maybe wants to look for some of the ones that are for the fight nights at the Apex. They're $80.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think it's just because at the Apex there's only like 200 fans, and like 100 of them are friends and family, and what, you know what I mean. So it's just like there's not as many people to buy them as there used to be. So if you're into that kind of thing, or there's a particular fighter, a particular matchup, a particular poster you want, I would say the fight night ones, especially the ones at the Apex, I've noticed they're a lot cheaper than they used to be. So just throw it out there for some pass on.
There you go. See, that's a Vegas tip.
Vegas tip there. Pass on a little knowledge to you. Listen, all right, everything's going to be about UFC 275 this weekend, of course. There is BKFC this week, by the way. Alan Belcher is back on Saturday night as well. He's fighting in the headliner in Mississippi. And I think if he wins that against Big Frank Tate, he'll be fighting for the title. But if you haven't seen Alan Belcher in his return to active competition, he's an absolute monster. This dude is a beast now, heavyweight. I did an interview with him last week. I'm kind of torn on this. So tell me what you would do, Cole Coffey. I did an interview with Alan Belcher. I enjoyed talking to Alan Belcher. But the audio of it on his end, some of it was really bad. Like, it was weird. It was like, I think he was using his AirPods, and so it would tail off in some places and sound bad. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I produced the video, but I didn't put it on YouTube because I was like, people are just going to trash the audio. Although, our YouTube channel, by the way, if you're not following MMA Underground, please do so. Please like and subscribe that. We're trying to build that base there. I think we're over 4,000 subscribers now, so we're still relatively
nice.
We're small, but we're growing. So on the one hand, I'm kind of thinking like our subscriber base is still so young and new that maybe like I should just put it on there anyway because how many people are going to watch it to trash it? But on the other hand, I'm like, well, if I put it up and I know how much – and I always say it's counterintuitive, but the biggest part of a good video is good audio. Like it needs to sound good. And so I don't know. I got this interview with Alan Belcher and I kind of want to put it up, but it's got kind of trash audio on it.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Try to find a good clip out of it for social maybe so you could use something from it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. I mean, if it's the kind of thing that goes in and out and that you get annoyed, somebody else is going to get annoyed.
Yeah.
Like, but, I mean, granted, we're always a little bit tougher. But, I mean, Sometimes you can always put some out and just put the caveat, just put it in the description, like, dude was wearing earbuds, so the audio kind of goes in and out, you know. Then at least you could put the blame on him.
At least.
And not like, they're like, bro, why don't you fix your audio
here? He's the talent. He's not the audio engineer.
Come on. You know, sometimes I'm just looking at that. So this is BKFC Fight Night Jackson 2.
Yes.
Why are they calling it Jackson 2?
Because they had a Jackson 1.
That is so stupid.
It's Vegas 56, right? Over the US, but that's a hashtag, not the actual name.
Yeah, I mean, but that's like, I don't know.
I know.
They're not calling it because it was Vegas, too. It was just like the event, Fight Night, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
In Vegas.
Yeah, they're
I mean, they
it like
do the, do some of the hashtag like, UFC Vegas, whatever, I guess. But that's like, I don't know, that whole little other thing. That's just a social media, like, whatever. I don't call my event that, but whatever. I don't know. I just saw it, and I'm like, okay, who's Jackson? Is this a rematch?
You know what's funny?
Like, oh, wait, no, it's the city?
I'll tell you what's funny. So, internally, I've actually been thinking about this lately. So, like, last week was UFC Fight Night 207, right?
Yeah.
So, when UFC went to ESPN, and now you've got, like, UFC on ESPN, you've got UFC Fight Night on ESPN, you got all this stuff, right? We had a conversation with it at Junkie, right? And I said, I think we should just call it what the UFC calls it. Like, everything is UFC on ESPN. It's either a pay-per-view or it's UFC, ESPN, whatever. Like, I think they're up to, like, 100 now.
It's 37. Well, yeah. I see what you're
saying. You know what I mean? Because they just do it all as one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that way you don't have to worry, is it UFC? Is that, like, when they announce a card, you don't have to worry, like, is it going to be on ESPN? Is it going to be on ESPN Plus?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry. So that's how they call it internally.
Yeah.
And I was like, for Junkie, I thought that we should call it that way. I was like, well, if we do that, because, like, right now, when a card gets announced, and I know this because we used to do it, you just put UFC Fight Night, and then you wait to see what it is, and then you rename it.
We just had that discussion earlier today with Nolan about ESPN 38, you know, whether it was going to be UFC ESPN 38 or was it UFC Fight Night 208.
Okay, exactly, right?
Yeah.
So I thought the way we should eliminate that is just call everything UFC on ESPN the same way they do internally, and then it's not a thing. But since I've gone over to MMA Underground, MixedMartialArts.com, I've still been using the Junkie naming way of doing it.
Yeah.
But now I've been thinking, because it's like super annoying. Like, and you know, I can consult myself and make a decision. I might just change it up.
Well,
I might go pure ESPN. I might try to set the trend. I might try to set the new industry standard moving forward.
There you go. Well, I know a lot of times too that, you know, they were like, oh, it might be, maybe it would just be easier when we just do UFC Fight Night, fighter versus fighter. But that's hard to put a chronological order of when it takes place in the overall scheme of things if you don't have some sort of numbering with it.
Right.
Then you're going back and you're like, okay, all right, I'm looking at this, and then you got to find the date, and then you can start doing the order. So I don't think you can ever get completely away from the numbers, or you're
no,
gonna,
you have the
you're
numbers,
be, you know.
But it doesn't matter where they air. It's either a numbered pay-per-view or
right.
it's a numbered ESPN event, whether that's ESPN, ESPN 2, ESPN Plus. Because that was the thing, too. Like, we had situations before
ESPN,
where they would
ESPN
move
Plus.
It from ESPN Plus over to ESPN.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, so now does it no longer become UFC Fight Night 207? Now it becomes UFC on ESPN 38, but they moved it the week of. So now we have to rename everything the week of. I think I'm going to change it. I'm going to try to be the trendsetter.
Yeah.
I think I just made a decision.
There you go.
Corporate decision.
You going to check that out with number two?
Let me run that by the team. No, we're good. Okay. I was going to say Cage Warriors is this weekend, but I'll be honest, not that I'm selfish about it. I wanted to see Max Roshkoff on there, and I think his fight got canceled, unfortunately, from what I understand.
Yeah, so, unfortunately.
Bummed about that. That's the fight that I was most intrigued with over at Cage Warriors. But they are still doing a card in San Diego this weekend. There is the BKFC. There's an LFA event as well. So there is quite a bit of action. But, of course, anytime it's a pay-per-view, everybody is – talking about UFC 275. So I will have a and a half. So everybody that's supporting us over at patreon.com/
if you're over
MMA
here,
Road
we
Show,
could do it here.
Maybe so.
I guess it depends on what time it is.
True that.
Well, I probably still won't drink. It's probably no fun to be around me then. It's probably no fun to watch fights and not have
I've enjoyed you way less since you stopped drinking.
I know,
no,
right?
I'm just kidding. I'm proud of you as I sit here and pound my award-winning Pass the Ribbons.
I'm glad somebody's drinking the beers in the fridge.
Otherwise, they'd just be sitting there. But we'll have
there.
The and a half. Maybe it'll be a cold coffee. Maybe not. We'll find out. But appreciate each and every person that supports us over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow for as little as $3 a month. You can help support the show. That definitely helps us out. And, of course, you get that exclusive access to the and a half episodes. For everybody else, if you can just make sure that you're logged in wherever you're doing, you rate us, you review us, leave some feedback. We appreciate all that. We're still trying to grow this bad boy.
Growing this shit.
You know what I mean? Even though we're different places now, different environments. Still working.
You
together.
Don't have to bring that up. We're still here. We're still here.
All right, listen. Shout out to everybody over in Singapore. Have a good time over there. I'll be watching on TV. I'm looking forward to it. Join us over at patreon.com/MMAroadshow. We'll be kicking on social media, all those things. In the meantime, enjoy your time, and thanks for listening. We'll be right back.